Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Patent Infringement Venues Edition. I'm your host, Christopher Goffis. On May 22, 2017, the Supreme Court decided TC Heartland LLC v. Kraft Foods Group Brands LLC, a dispute over the proper venue for a patent infringement suit. Section 1400B of the Patent Venue Statute states in relevant part that a civil action for patent infringement may be brought in the judicial district where the defendant resides. In the 1957 case, Forco Glass Company v. Transmira Prods Corp., the Supreme Court held that for purposes of Section 1400B, a domestic corporation resides only in its state of incorporation, a narrower understanding of corporate residence than that applicable under Section 1391 of the General Venue Statute. Under Section 1391, a corporate defendant is typically deemed to reside in any judicial district where it is subject to the court's personal jurisdiction with respect to the civil action in question. TC Heartland LLC is organized under Indiana law and headquartered there. Kraft Food Brands LLC sued Heartland in federal district court in Delaware, where Kraft is organized, alleging that products Heartland shipped to Delaware infringed on Kraft's patents for similar products. Heartland moved to dismiss the claim or transfer venue to Indiana, arguing that it did not reside in Delaware for purposes of Section 1400B. The district court rejected these arguments, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit denied mandamus relief because its circuit precedent had concluded that more recent statutory amendments to Section 1391 had effectively superseded the Forco interpretation of reside in Section 1400B. And thus the broader understanding expressed in Section 1391 now applied to Section 1400B, too. By a vote of 8-0, the Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Federal Circuit and remanded the case. In an opinion by Justice Thomas, the court held that the amendments to Section 1391 did not modify the meaning of Section 1400B, as interpreted in Forco, as applied to domestic corporations. Residence for purposes of Section 1400B still refers only to the state of incorporation. All other members of the court joined in Justice Thomas's opinion, except Justice Gorsuch, who took no part in the consideration or decision of this case. And now, to discuss the case, we have J. Devlin Heartline, who is director of the Center for the Protection of Intellectual Property and adjunct professor at the Antonin Scalia Law School, George Mason University.
I'm just going to briefly discuss the issue and the court's holding and the court's reasoning, and then I'll explain briefly why I don't think the court's reasoning is persuasive. So in the case, TC Heartland versus Kraft Foods, the issue before the Supreme Court was where a patent owner can sue a domestic corporation for patent infringement. And while all the federal district courts have power to hear patent infringement suits, there are rules about where a particular case has to be filed. These are called venue rules. So we have the patent venue rule, which is in Section 1400B, that provides that a patent infringement suit against a domestic corporation can be brought anywhere that it, quote, resides. Then we have the general venue rule in Section 1391C that defines the residency of a domestic corporation very broadly, in fact, to the full extent of the due process clause. So the Supreme Court was asked to decide whether that broad definition in the general venue rule applies to the word resides in the patent venue rule. And the courts below, the district court and the federal circuit, both held that it does, giving patent owners lots of choices where they can sue for infringement. But the Supreme Court unanimously, 8-0, held that it does not. And the Supreme Court announced a rule that a domestic corporation resides for venue purposes only in its state of incorporation. So to understand how the court got there, we have to go back in time to 1957 in a case called Forco Glass. And the Supreme Court addressed this very same issue, the interplay of the patent venue rule and the general venue rule. And the court there in Forco Glass held that Section 1400B, the patent rule, is, quote, the sole and exclusive provision controlling venue in patent infringement actions, and it is not to be supplemented by Section 1391C. So the court thus held that a domestic corporation only resides in its state of incorporation. Fast forward 60 years to TC Heartland, this case, and the court saw no reason to change course. It said that while the patent venue rule hasn't changed since Forco Glass, 1400B is exactly the same as it was then, but the general venue rule has been amended twice. So Section 1391C was first amended in 1988 to broadly define where a corporation resides for purposes of venue under this chapter. And then 2 years later, the Federal Circuit, famously in VE Holdings, said that this change was so significant that Forco Glass was no longer good law, and a patent owner could sue a domestic corporation in places other than its state of incorporation. So 1391 was again amended in 2011. And this time it stated twice that its broad definition of residency governs venue in, quote, all civil actions and, quote, for all venue purposes. And this led the Federal Circuit here to reiterate what it had said in 1990 in VE Holdings, that reside in the patent venue statute should be interpreted broadly. But the Supreme Court, in an opinion by Justice Clarence Thomas, disagreed. The court said that its narrow view of residency that it had announced in 1957 in Forco Glass remains the law today, despite these amendments to 1391C. And Justice Thomas, as we all know, a textualist, reasoned that the changes to the general venue rule in 1391C do not evince congressional intent to overrule Forco Glass. The version of 1391C that applied then, just like the one that applies now, applies to, quote, all actions. So Justice Thomas stated that, given the court's holding in Forco Glass, Congress, quote, ordinarily provides a relatively clear indication of its intent in the text of the amended provision. And he reasoned that 1391C does not contain any indication that Congress intended to alter the meaning of 1400B. So turning to what I think about the case, I find this textual analysis perfunctory. So I don't think it's persuasive. And as I mentioned earlier, Justice Thomas is a textualist. And if you look at the text of 1391, it seems that he's ignoring the clear import of what it says. So twice, 1391 says that it applies in all cases, but apparently all doesn't mean what it used to mean. And Justice Thomas focuses on the saving clause, which is found in 1391A. It says, except as otherwise provided by law. And Justice Thomas said, well, this means that there are exceptions, and so it stands to reason that the exception here is 1400B, just like we said in Forco Glass. But I don't think this is the proper way to read the saving clause. So the version of 1391C that existed in Forco Glass was a substantive venue rule. It actually established the rule of where a corporation could be sued. But the version of 1391C that exists today and that existed in 1988 before the Federal Circuit ruled in VE Holdings, it's purely definitional. It's no longer a substantive rule. All that 1391C does is define residency. And it says on its face that that definition is to be applied elsewhere. Where else? Well, everywhere else. It says all civil actions, all venue purposes. The residency definition applies whenever such a definition is needed in a federal venue statute. And that, of course, includes 1400B, which turns on residency, but it doesn't define the term. So the two venue rules that were at issue in Forco Glass, they were contradictory. We had two statutes that substantively said this is where venue lies. And so only one could apply. And I think the Supreme Court got it right in Forco Glass that we're going to apply the special venue statute. But the problem is that the statute that exists today in 1391C, there is no more conflict. And in fact, 1391C reads itself into 1400B in perfect harmony. So Justice Thomas, the textualist, could only arrive at his conclusion, I think, by ignoring the text. And interestingly, interestingly, it's the fact that he didn't look to legislative history that I think threw him off. So it was, if you go back to Foucault Glass and read the case, the court says that it was relying heavily on the reviser's notes, not on the text of the clause itself, but on what was written about it by the people who wrote the law. And that led the court to rule the way that it did. So the court reasoned that the 1948 amendment to 1391C did not change the meaning in 1400B because that's what it said in the reviser's notes, that Congress did not intend a substantive change to the law. But here we have Justice Thomas not mention that fact, and he doesn't look at the legislative history. But if the court had looked at legislative history, it would have seen indications that Congress did intend to change the law. And this was true in 1988, and it's true for the 2011 amendment. For example, the House report to the 2011 amendment explicitly says that 1391C is, quote, applicable universally and applies, quote, to all venue statutes, including venue provisions that appear elsewhere in the United States Code. And if you look at the report from the American Law Institute, the ALI, which actually drafted the language that Congress ultimately adopted, it reiterates this point. It says, quote, all of the definitions of residence set forth in 1391C apply globally to all venue statutes, whether of general or special applicability, that use residence of the parties to define venue. So we have ALI and Congress with the 2011 amendment saying that they were trying to solve problems that had arisen. They created this definitional section to solve problems, such as suing an unincorporated entity, such as an LLC or an association, or what do we do about foreign corporations? And if you read the T.C. Heartland opinion, the court recognizes that its narrow view of resides in 1400B creates a problem for foreign corporations. Where can you sue them? It doesn't answer that question, but it says that's an issue. It's in a footnote. And the same thing with an unincorporated entity like an LLC. In another footnote, the court recognizes the problem, but it doesn't give us an answer. Well, I think the answer is clear, that Congress already solved this problem when it passed 1391C in 2011. And this is, again, indicated in the ALI. And it's indicated in the history. If we just use the definitions in 1391C that's the way they're supposed to, then we won't have these problems of where does venue lie for foreign corporations or LLCs and the like.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.